All right, so we'll say. But let's begin. So we'll say, so I want to share with you really a very beautiful idea by the Rebbe. So just to give you the context here. So we're looking at Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Dalid. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the Bris Ben Habsarim. Right, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a covenant with Avram Avinu, and that covenant has many facets to it. Number one, the covenant is that Avram Avinu is going to have a son, he's going to have grandchildren in Yiratz Hashem, multiple generations. But it's also where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu about the Egyptian servitude, that we are going to be enslaved in Egypt. So the Pasuk reads, the Gamas Hagoya Sher Yavodu Dan Anochi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram that when you go out of Egypt, I will go ahead and judge your oppressors. V'acharichein Yetsu Birchush Gadol. And afterwards, you will go out with great rechush, great belongings. So again, the way we normally understand this is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Avram Avinu, things are going to be difficult, but the good news is that when your children go out, they will go out with wealth. They'll go out, rechush gadol, great amounts of property. So what's interesting about this is as follows. You know, so we, like I said, we often translate this as rechush gadol means they're going to go out with gold, silver. As we know, that's what happened during Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vayishlo ish me'ishchint. Oh, so remember again, the Jews asked from the Egyptians all different kinds of property, clothing, gold, silver. The Egyptians heap it upon them. And so the Jews are able to go out wealthy. What's interesting about this is as follows. There are many different biblical terms for wealth. Kesef, Zahav, Ruchush is an interesting one. Ruchush means property. Ruchush means something you own. Now, Ruchush could have value. Ruchush doesn't have to have value. Now, obviously, in this pasuk, it's Ruchush Gadol, which means great property. So Rabbi Nachman is just intrigued by this phrase, Ruchush Gadol. So,
when the three kings and the four kings fight, and Avram brings back stuff, he doesn't take his shoelace, is it also Ruchushim in that?
He says his lashon in Michut va'atz. Yes, he says kachas han. He says kachas hanefesh v'arushush. Let me find it here. Vayom haMelech Sdom al Avram tili hanefesh v'harushush kach lach. So same lashon, right? So we'll see. I don't. It's a good ha'ara. I don't know if Rabbi Nachman's vart. We'll have to see what if we could tie it back. So listen to this. So Rebbe says as follows. Paragraph A. V'acharei ken yetsu b'rechush gadol. Afterwards, you'll go out with great amounts of property. It's actually a really beautiful piece. What we call a yesodistic piece, a fundamental piece in Chassidus, which teaches us certain truths just about Chassidus. Kimashi Yisrael heim kavushim magola b'tchila. So the Rebbe asks, perhaps, which is one of the most profound questions, which is, Klal Yisrael, we're always in Golos, right? We've been in exile for 2,000 years. So you want to say the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because we did certain Averos? Okay. But it's not just the fact that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. We've been dispersed. We've been exiled. 2,000 years is a very long time. So at a certain point in time, you have to ask yourself the following question. What kind of sin warrants a 2,000-year punishment? So what's the answer? Really, none.
Nothing.
There's nothing that warrants a 2,000-year punishment, which means, therefore, that there must be another aspect to our galus, that there must be another reason why we are in the diaspora and still in the diaspora. Hey, so the question is, what's the tachlis? What's the purpose? So the Rebbe says, and this is amazing, we've actually touched on this concept before in the past. He says, Zem machmas, shevachol mokom yesh nitzotzos, unefashos kidoshos harve, shenitchu v'nafotsu v'nispazru l'sham, ayidechet adam harishon. So the Rebbe here says something that is so beautifully dramatic, which is, when Adam and Chava sinned, what they did was as follows. Before Adam and Chava sinned, I should say, so Kiddusha, holiness, was centered in man. Man possessed all the necessary requisite holiness. Holiness was situated in Gan Eden. When man sins, holiness is dispersed. it's no longer centralized in Gan Eden, and it's no longer centralized inside of the individual, but rather it's dispersed throughout the entire world. That's why, again, also we speak about this idea that there's Kedusha everywhere. There is literally Kedusha everywhere, because the Kedusha that was once concentrated in Adam and Chava, the Kedusha that was once concentrated in Gan Eden, has now suddenly been dispersed across the entire world. We call these sparks of Kedusha that are dispersed throughout the entire world Nitzotzos. A Nitzotz is a spark of Kedusha, a spark of holiness, that originally was concentrated again in Gan Eden, that was originally concentrated in Adam and Chava, and then as a result of their sin and subsequent sins. So, you know, we'll say it's almost like if you have a piece of ice, a large piece of ice, and you keep hitting it, it splinters off into different smaller pieces. And the harder you hit it, so the further the splinters separate from the, you know, mothership ice. It's the same dynamic here. Adam and Chava began with this beautiful block of holiness. When they sinned, they hit it. They broke it. It splintered off. Subsequent sins of humanity hit it more and splintered more. Subsequent sins of humanity hit it even harder, splintered further. Therefore, again, there are sparks of Kedusha, sparks of holiness everywhere throughout the world. Paragraph B. This is actually so beautiful. So what are these sparks waiting for? These sparks are waiting for us. Because I'll tell you something amazing, which is, it is only the Jew who has the power to uncover the sparks. So wherever the sparks are, they're waiting for a Yid. They're waiting for a Jew. We'll say, you know, I spoke about this, I don't remember the context. You ever go somewhere, like to the middle of nowhere? Middle of nowhere. There's not a Jew in sight. And suddenly you feel holy. You know, we'll say, you know, there are some people, let's be honest, you know, some of us like to dafka vacation in places where there are no Jews. Right? Right? No, I'm not asking right? Listen, so, right? So, yeah, think about this just a moment. Where does that come from? So like, think to yourself, like, why? What am I going to do? I'm going to McDonald's? Like, what are you doing? So we'll say, I'll tell you where it comes from. Deep down, there's a recognition that when I go to remote places where there are no other Yidden, there are no other Jews there, so then what ends up happening is there are Nitzotzos, there are sparks of holiness that are there that I, on my own, have the ability to uncover. You see, there are sparks everywhere, and they can only be uncovered, they can only be activated, ultimately, by the Jew. So I think I'm running away from my neighbors, right? I think, I will say, if you think about it, it's so silly. You know, it's almost like, you hear people talk this, oh, I love to vacation places where there are no Jews. What is it that you're doing exactly? Like, you know, skinny dipping in broad daylight? What are you doing? You're eating a cheeseburger, you know, on Yom Kippur? Like, what are you doing that's so illicit that they can't be other Jews? Plus, I'm telling you, what the Rebbe says is, deep down, there's a recognition that if I go somewhere where there are no other Yidden there, then when I make a bracha, when I daven a shacharis, when I go ahead and I say a kapitel tehillim, when I learn a piece of Torah, I am uncovering sparks that have never been uncovered before. Baruch, what were you going to say?
No, I know that Chabad said.
Yes, 100.
No, because we were in Costa Rica, right, and they went up the beach everywhere. With Chabad. Everywhere. No, with the Chabad tour. We went and with Rav Manas Friedman. That's why I knew
right, we brought Rav Manas to
bring early when yeah. Early on when Rebbe was here as a scholar in residence. But we went walking up the beach. They found a tent and there was a man or a woman there. And they asked questions like, "Why? You know, what are you doing? Whatever." And the woman said, "I remember my grandmother used to light candles on Friday night."
It's wild.
That's the Rav Manas said, "Why are we here?
Why are we here?" That's it. That's
yeah,
it.
Right.
Yeah. And there's no question, by the way, that Chabad has taken this concept. It probably lives it. Mm-hmm. This was the Lubavitch Rebbe, meaning it really it wasn't Chabad before. This was the last Rebbe was the one who created this concept of shlichos, right?
Yeah,
and all of that is based on this idea. There are nitzotzos everywhere, and if we don't get out into the world, we can't discover them. By the way, that's why you know that like this whole yisod with shlichos, by the way, is actually very interesting. I learned this in Fort Lauderdale, in the Chabad in Fort Lauderdale. So, you know, with the shlichos, it's not the pshat that like, you climb the shlichus ladder. Right. You know, like, okay, you're stationed in Peoria, but it's okay, don't worry about it, you're going to make your way back to the East Coast.
You're
no,
Peoria.
Where you
your,
go,
your grave is in
that's it. That you can buy your cabin there, right? But no, that's literally the way that it is. Because you will say there is this fundamental idea that wherever you go, your shlichus, your job, is to discover the sparks. And your career development is finding more sparks. It's an incredible, incredible this. Look what the Rebbe says. He goes on paragraph B. V'tekev shebal sham isha Yisraeli. So when a Jew comes to a place where there are nitzotos, where there are sparks, and the sparks yearn to be discovered, heim noflim alav umesavavim oso, finis aschim bo kedei sheyizkayim. Sheyitaknim, excuse me. The sparks run to the Jew. Why do they run to the Jew? So that the Jew could uplift them. See, Abbas, we all have this experience. You ever wonder to yourself how I remember I had this once. Like, you go somewhere to a remote area, and you have like a spiritual experience. Yet there's no religious infrastructure. You have think about this. You go to somewhere in the middle of nowhere. You have so many more shiurim, so many more shuls, so many more Jews, so much more chesed, all here. And yet I go somewhere to the middle of nowhere, and yet I feel so inspired. What's the pshat? So the Rebbe says, because when you go to the middle of nowhere, the nitzotzos run to find you. Because when the nitzotzos, when the sparks see that a yid has come, that a Jew has come, the nitzotzos are so excited. Because they finally have the opportunity to be revealed and to be redeemed. And therefore, says the Rebbe, when the Isha Yisraeli comes to this place where the Nitzotzos have not yet been discovered, the Nitzotzos flock to him. They run to him, hoping that he's going to do something spiritual so as to uncover those sparks and reveal those sparks. Umachmas, paragraph C. Sheilu ha-Nitzotzos munochem bein ha-goyim u bein ha-klipos sheim nechazim u-muhudokim bahem ha-od. But I will say, here's the amazing part. But yet sometimes when we look at those nitzotzos, when we look at those sparks, they're not necessarily immediately recognizable. Why? Because when the sparks spend enough time out in the field, when the nitzotzos spend enough time out in the veldt, so they lose a little bit of their spiritual luster. And sometimes you can't even see that they're spiritual sparks. They become covered by what's called in Chassidus, the klipos. Right? The klipos, the shells. So sometimes, again, you walk into a place, you can't see any holiness, but yet, again, in your heart, you feel that there's something different over here. There's just something different over here. That's your neshama feeling the sparks of holiness that are in this place. Those sparks, by the way, that may have been sitting there from the times already of the chait of Adam and Chava, waiting for a Jew to come along, do something holy, do something spiritual, which removes the klipos and then ultimately elevates the spark. But there's a struggle because those klipos, the Rebbe says over here, he says, "Ayidei ze yesh yisurim gidol meishe yisrael shabal Hashem, ki gam haklipos v'chalamachshav osros v'zorosu bebulim, haboim hen ne'echazim bo machmos sheroen shanitzotos rotzen le'esakim." So also here's what happens. You see, the klipos, which are these shells of impurity, also have a hold on these sparks of holiness. So when the Jew comes to a place, there becomes a tug of war. I don't even realize that I'm fighting a battle, but Shabbos HaKlal Gadol, the Jew is always fighting. The Jew is always, like the Ramchal says, life is a milchama. There's always a battle. Sometimes I'm aware of the battle, sometimes I'm not aware of the battle. So I walk into a place, there are nitzotzos. So my soul says, I have to find those nitzotzos, redeem those nitzotzos. The klipos, which are the shells of impurity, which have settled upon those sparks over who knows how many years, say, no, we're not ready to let go of these klipos. We want the klipos. Mm-hmm. And so there becomes either a conscious or subconscious battle between the Jew and the klipos. Who is going to claim the nitzotzots? Who is going to claim the sparks in any particular place? And the Rebbe goes on and he says, "Ve'ikra izachsam." Skip down a little bit. He says, look at the end of paragraph C. He says, "Bekam mekomus muva meremes gam besifrei hazohar v'chol kisei arizal shem echa meyasod v'sagdosh besifrei aziv hazohar." Paragraph D. Miusadim aleim ki yadua lemevim mekomus emispar v'zel bechinas tichpa davodos. So before we get into this. So I will say, first of all, there's so many pieces that are coming out of this. Number one, there is Kiddusha everywhere. So this is a very, very important yisod that a person should always realize that wherever you go in life, there are undiscovered sparks. So wherever a Jew walks in, by definition, my job is this, is the simple one, which is discover the sparks, uncover the sparks. How do you uncover the sparks? The simplest spiritual act has the ability to uncover the sparks. So we'll say, so a person goes into a meeting, a business meeting, so there are any tzotzos there also. So what do you do?
Say a bracha.
Say a bracha. Don't start giving a Dvar Torah, right? That might end the deal, right? But you say a bracha. You say a bracha. You do something spiritual. A person goes somewhere. Say, wow, such beautiful mountains, such beautiful nature. What do you do? You say, you know what? There are nitzotzos. There are sparks. There are sparks here. Did you see that, by the way? Did you see what just happened over there? Did you see that?
That is,
it's pretty wild. You see the nitzotzos. Right? So.
It was me. I haven't.
You have a little flicker. You have a clicker, a clicker, whatever. Thank you for the effects. Right? So this is the incredible yisod. So that's number one. Number two, there's a struggle between the Jew and the klipos. The klipos, the shells of impurity, want to hold on to the nitzotzos, but ultimately, again, the Jew wants to redeem the nitzotzos. Who wins? But I say, like most things in life, whoever works harder. If the Jew is interested in doing something spiritual, he'll claim the nitzotzos. If not, the klipos will. But I skip down a little bit. So the Rebbe then goes on to read this whole thing, ultimately, into the narrative of Mitzrayim, which we're not going to get into. I want you to skip to paragraph F. Look what the Rebbe says. The Zeh, get ready for this. The Zeh Bechinas, the Achare Kein Yetsu Birchush Gadol. Hane'emar Gam Al Golas Hazek Yadua. Look what the Rebbe says, Rebbe Hosei. You see, everyone thinks that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, at the end of Egyptian servitude, I'm going to take you out. The Achare Kein, and afterwards, Yetsu Birchush Gadol. You walk out with great belongings. Everyone thinks that the belongings that are being referred to are what? Are material. So yes, in part it is, but remember, I am bless you. But remember again, if it was just money, as we said before, there are better words to use. Says that we know through chush means, Chadish Baruch Hu is telling Avraham Avinu, I want you to understand something. Your children's experience in Egypt will not be in vain. I need your children to go down to Egypt. Do you know why? Because at the end of the day, there are sparks of holiness that are there. Sparks of holiness that have been there since the times of Adam and Chava, that are waiting to be discovered, that are waiting to be uncovered, and only your children can do it. So your children are going to go down to Mitzrayim, and the entire point of the Shibud is for them to discover the sparks. And if they work hard enough, they'll remove the klipos, they'll uplift the sparks, and they will take those sparks with them when they leave Egypt. Hence the word, the acharechei, or the phrase, yetsu birchush gadol. After servitude, they will go out with great property, great belongings. Money, gold, silver, clothing, but perhaps more importantly, the beautiful sparks of uncovered holiness that they have discovered during their 210 years in Egypt. And Rabbi Nachman adds in something incredible. He says, this is also stated, al hagavos hazeh. Kiyadua. The Rebbe says this unique statement of Va'acharechein Yetzu Birchush Gadol was not unique to Egypt, but it applies to all of our life circumstances. You see, Rebbe was saying, all of us go through periods of enslavement. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's spiritual. We all go through difficult circumstances. But if you find a spiritual response to your difficult circumstances, then you have the ability to remove the klipos, to remove the shells from the nitzotzos, from the sparks of holiness. So that when you emerge from your life difficulty, not only do you emerge with greater resilience, greater emotional strength, but you emerge with greater holiness. Because you've been able to take the sparks of your particular situation with you in the journey ahead. That's Va'acharechein Yetzu Birchush Gadol. I will say, wherever we find ourselves in life, there are sparks waiting to be discovered. And if we do something spiritual in each of our situations in life, the good ones and the difficult ones, when we emerge from them, sometimes with a lot of scars from the different difficulties in life, but we emerge with those sparks of light, those sparks of holiness that we could claim as our own.
Shkoyach.
It's also the singular.
The Rechosh.
Right, because we'd be with Chushim if we bought every piece of something.
100%.
Chush was a principle.